Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Free mobile testing. Above, Odessa Fire Rescue paramedic Joe Espinosa gets ready to administer a COVID-19 nasal swab Wednesday morning. 153 people received a free COVID-19 nasal swab from the city's mobile testing lab at UTPB's soccer complex parking lot. The next free mobile COVID-19 testing is scheduled to be held at Sherwood Park from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on September 30th. Above right, before moving to other people in line, Odessa Fire Rescue paramedic Andrew McElroy changes his gloves as OFR cadet Jared Escandone follows close behind with the nasal swab. Right, Odessa Fire Rescue staff members man both sides of the two-lane testing line Wednesday morning. Photos by Ben Powell, Odessa American. OC raises tax rate. OA News at OAOA.com. With no public comment, the Odessa College Board of Trustees approved the tax rate for fiscal year 2021. The resolution approved Tuesday evening sets the tax rate at 0.188965 per $100 valuation. Last month, the board approved a $51,171,749 budget for 2020-2021. According to information from a previous board meeting, the change in the proposed tax rate is 1.2%. The average home market value is $210,925, the information stated. This means an annual increase of $31.65 and a monthly increase of $2.64. In other business, the board heard a report from Dean of the School of Business and Industry, Jennifer Myers, about the Ford ASSET, A-S-S-E-T, program. ASSET stands for Automatic Student Service Educational Training. The two-year program consists of 60 semester credit hours. It's Ford-specific automotive training, Myers said. Students earn an associate degree in applied science in Ford ASSET. They will earn Ford Service Technician specialty training credentials and acquire work experience throughout the program. Myers said once students complete the program, there will be a lot of employment opportunities. The program recently achieved ASE accreditation. ASE stands for Automotive Service Excellence, and recognizes OC's automotive and diesel programs. Myers said ASE accreditation is a prerequisite to offering the Ford ASSET program. Myers said students in this aspect of OC's automotive program are passionate about working in a Ford dealership. There are generic automotive and diesel programs, though. In his report, President Gregory Williams said the Wrangler Food Pantry had a campus donation day September 3rd and added 2,853 pounds. The winner of the Drive to Success event was Montana Hudson, an education major who graduated from OC in May. She is from Odessa. Contributions to the Student Success Scholarship campaign reached 100%, probably for the first time in the history of the initiative. Williams said the goal was 99%. The financial goal was $50,000, but $42,122 was donated. The OC Foundation has launched an OC mask sale campaign to reach $50,000, Williams said. On a separate item, Vice President for Institutional Effectiveness Don Wood said enrollment should be up overall at OC if trends hold. Enrollment continues through October 26th, which he said is the census date for the Fall 2 session. Statewide, enrollment in community colleges is down. Wood said dual credit enrollment is up at OC by 4.3%, or 103 students. First time in college students is down 15%, or 144 students. The transfer in number is up 338%, or 511 students. Wood said COVID-19 is keeping students at home. Generally, he said when they are home, they attend the college closest to home. That's the most affordable. Continuing students, those who stop out or are continuing from the spring, is down 16%, or 462 students. Wood said this downturn is not surprising because OC had a record graduation last year. A team has been brought together to reach first-time college students and continuing student numbers, Wood said. Local news roundup. Man charged with assaulting, choking brother-in-law. A 27-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly assaulted and choked his brother-in-law. Jairus Malone White was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, causing bodily injury, family violence, a second-degree felony. The assault happened around 7:07 p.m. Monday in the 1000 block of Autumn Avenue, an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. Officers reportedly found the victim, identified as Isaiah Labrent Sanford, bleeding from the mouth and standing in the backyard of the residence. Sanford stated the man who assaulted him was his brother-in-law, White, and they don't get along and they have had previous issues. Sanford stated in the affidavit that White walked up from the front of the residence to the back where he was sitting and asked Sanford, "What you looking at?" Sanford stated that he saw White was holding something in his hand, which he was hiding behind his back. Sanford stated an argument happened and he attempted to walk away. Sanford reportedly told officers that as he was walking away and that White assaulted him with the object to the back of the head, making him fall face first on the ground, which caused his mouth to bust open and several teeth to fall out. Sanford stated as he was lying on the ground, he felt White jump on his back, place him in a chokehold, and squeeze to the point that he couldn't breathe, the affidavit stated. A witness came forward and stated they saw White place Sanford in a chokehold. Officers reportedly reviewed medical records from the hospital, and it showed that Sanford had intracranial head injury, concussion, eye trauma, a hematoma, contusion, and fracture or subluxation of cervical or thoracic spine. Sanford took photos a couple days after the incident that showed injury to both eyes, which was consistent with being choked. White was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had one bond totaling $25,000, and he posted bail on Tuesday, jail records show. Police seeking help in theft investigation. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly looking for a man involved in a theft of a bicycle. The bicycle theft happened around 7:30 p.m. July 2nd in the 1200 block of Smith Street, an OPD press release stated. Investigation reportedly showed that a man stole a bicycle from the victim's front yard. OPD has released a photo of man that can be seen at tinyur.com/yy38q8vr. Anyone with information about the theft is asked to contact Detective L. Gonzalez at 432-335-3345 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS, and reference case number 20-0011718. OA News at OAOA.com. Guest View. ECISD Pre-K is Vital, Spots Are Available, by Mike Adkins. When Ector County ISD leaders unveiled the district's new strategic plan last spring, it did so with participation and input from a committee of nearly 200 people, ECISD employees, community members, parents, and students. One of the major tenets of the plan was a switch to full-day pre-kindergarten for all eligible four-year-olds starting this fall. ECISD expanded pre-K availability to 18 campuses across the county. Now, 5.5 weeks into the school year, pre-K enrollment sits 400 to 500 students below previous years. ECISD officials want to remind parents of the benefits of pre-K and ask them to consider all of the safety precautions schools are taking to keep kids safe, a news release said. As we look across the state of Texas, we realize that is not unusual. Districts across the state are missing many pre-K students, Superintendent Scott Murray said in a news release. Our families are keeping their youngest children at home. The brain of a four-year-old is still developing, and it's critically important that we engage those young minds so that they can fully develop. The early education is absolutely essential for our children, he added. High-quality pre-K prepares children for school and life in a number of ways. It fosters curiosity and a lifelong love of learning. Pre-kindergarten gives kids the tools necessary to succeed through hands-on, engaging, academic and play-based activities, habits of mind, that lay a strong foundation for their educational journey. Oral language development builds vocabulary, which is the basis for thinking, writing, speaking, reading. Children learn how to communicate with both peers and adults. It also helps with social-emotional development. Students learn and develop social, emotional, and self-regulation and self-advocacy skills, the release said. Eligibility requirements for pre-kindergarten are established by the state of Texas. In addition to being 4 years old on or before September 1st, a child must fall into at least one of the following categories to be considered eligible: economically disadvantaged, English language learner, homeless, child of active military member, child is in family and child protective services. ECISD also accepts children who do not meet these eligibility standards. However, a tuition of $200 per month is charged to offset the fact the state does not provide school districts with funding for ineligible students. With worries of COVID-19, district officials have built many precautions into the day to keep students and staff members safe. Parents bring their children in through different entrances, thereby limiting the number of people in groups and potential exposure. The kids wear masks when they leave their desks and wash their hands and use hand sanitizer throughout the day, even as they move around the room. They often sit at separate tables, and each child has a separate set of supplies that they do not share with others. Touchless greetings like wiggling fingers and air guitar are popular. At Lamar Early Education Center, the change from the normal drop-off and pick-up routines has brought an extra benefit. Parents are seeing teachers in the morning and the afternoon and having the chance to talk to them at those times, said Lamar EEC Principal Mary Jane Hutchins. It turns out extra connections between parents and teachers are built into this, Murray said during his Look, Listen, and Learn tour when he started his job. He found that 65% of students were not kindergarten ready. We must do better for our children, and we want to make sure the kids in ECISD have a great full-day pre-K opportunity, Murray said. Adkins is the Director of Communication for ECISD. Guest View, Mike Adkins. Hello, This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. Rita Black, Paris. Rita Black, 89, of Paris, passed away September 15th, 2020. Rita Fern Jordan Teague Black was born on September 3rd, 1931, to parents Flora Witt and Jay Jordan of Cat Springs, Texas. Rita made her home in Odessa, Texas for many years and was the loving wife of Billy James Black for almost 32 years. Rita is survived by her sister Lassie LaRue Whitehead of Rome, Texas, and Virginia Lou Ward of Odessa, Texas, and Nell Fernandez of Rome, Texas. She was the proud mother of 8 children, 4 of whom preceded her in death: David Dale Teague, Lewis Lane Teague, Janetta Faye Teague, and Mala Teague. Her 4 surviving children: William Wayne Teague of Mineral Wells, Texas, Vicki LaRue Teague Bailey and spouse Richard of Paris, Texas, Teresa Beth Black Gardner and spouse Jean of Huntsville, Texas, as well as Kenneth James Black and spouse Deborah of Odessa, Texas, loved her deeply and credited her with instilling traits of kindness, generosity, humor, and love of family in each of them. Rita was grandmother to 9 grandchildren: Marissa Lynn Henderson, Cody Dale Henderson, J. Thomas Teague, Jan Renee Shaw, James Lewis Snow, Kendall Ray Ryan, Madison DeLynn Black, Cole Wessel, and Lindsay Wessel. She was great-grandmother to River Vaughn Safian, Sky LaRue Safian, Lauren Elizabeth Snow, Zoe Renette Shaw, and Clementine Jean Ryan. Rita lived the past 4 years in Paris, Texas, making new friends at the Paris Retirement Village. She was well-loved for the gracious hospitality, crafting skills, and amazing cooking that she shared lovingly with those friends. She also loved her flower garden and the beauty it provided. But most of all, she loved her children and their families. Rita was also preceded in death by husband Willie Vester Teague, mother Flora Haney, father Jay Jordan, and brothers Elmer W. Haney, Earl Charles Haney, and Roy Dale Haney. Her family wishes to express our sincere thanks to the nurses and caregiving staff of Waterford Hospice for the tender, loving care she received in her final days. Mama was deeply loved and will be sincerely missed by all. Unfortunately, due to the current health crisis, memorial services for our precious Mama will be observed at a later date. Online condolences may be sent to the Black family at www.fry-gibbs.com. William Daniel Cobb, Odessa. Danny Cobb, 71, of Odessa, passed away at home on Monday, September 21st, 2020, after a long battle with multiple sclerosis. Danny was born July 24th, 1949, in Cushing, Oklahoma, to Thomas and Veda Green Cobb. He and his family moved to Odessa in 1959, and he graduated from Permian High School in 1967. He married Glenda Hammond, July 18th, 1970, in Odessa. He is survived by Glenda, his wife of 50 years, 2 daughters, Melissa Craig Parker of Naples, Italy, and Amanda Ryan Maddox of Colorado Springs, Colorado, and 3 grandchildren, Ivan, Elena, and Caden of Colorado Springs. He is also survived by brothers Joe Cobb of Beaumont, Russell Cobb of Temple, sisters-in-law Patsy Tacker and Marita Hart of Odessa, and May Moneyhan of Bolingbrook, Illinois. He was preceded in death by his parents, Tommy and Veda Cobb. The family wishes to thank Hospice of Odessa for their exceptional care during the last month. RNs Erica and Holly, as well as CNA Salema, treated Danny with professionalism and compassion, which will not be soon forgotten. The family would also like to thank neurologist Dr. John Foster, Jr., for many years of guidance through the journey of living with MS. As per Danny's wishes, there will be no services. Death notices. Alvaro Fierro, Odessa. Alvaro Fierro, 51, of Odessa, died Monday, September 21st, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Friday, September 25th, 2020, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Janelle Lloyd Llewellyn, Odessa. Janelle Lloyd Llewellyn, 83, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 17th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. on Wednesday, September 30th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Aretha Pearl Steen Music, Odessa. Aretha Pearl Steen Music, 84, of Odessa, died Monday, September 21st, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 11 a.m., September 24th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Freddie Steen is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, September 20th. Janelle Ida Lloyd Llewellyn. Janelle Ida Lloyd Llewellyn, 83, of Odessa, passed away Thursday, September 17th. She was born in Wagner, Oklahoma, December 24th, 1936, the daughter of Raymond Cass Lloyd and Lenora Cummins Lloyd. She is survived by her son, Raymond Llewellyn, and his wife, Deborah of Monahans, daughter Rhonda Llewellyn of Odessa, two grandsons, five great-grandchildren, a sister Carol Douglas and husband Ben of Stillwater, Oklahoma, brother-in-law Earl Sutton of Stillwater, Oklahoma, and nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, please consider donations to St. Jude's Connection Christian Church or the Dr. Abdul Qadir Stroke Center of Excellence through the MCHS Foundation. Laura Scott Holt. Laura Scott Holt of Lubbock passed away Tuesday, September 15th. She was 86 years old. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, October 3rd at 11 a.m. at Quaker Avenue Baptist Church in Lubbock. Laura Lonita Short was born July 4th, 1934, in Iran to Agnes Margaret Scott and Howard Allen Short. She is preceded in death by her mother and father, her son Mark Hodgins, her brother Don Duckering, and many other precious souls. She is survived by her daughter Marla Reams of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, daughter Melinda and husband David Pine of Lubbock, bonus daughter Trish Hodgins of Lubbock, six grandchildren and five great-grandchildren, and many precious cousins. Victor R. Gonzalez. Victor R. Gonzalez, 73, of Odessa, passed away Monday, September 14th. He was born October 13th, 1946, in Bakersfield, California, to Elizabeth Gonzalez. Victor is survived by his aunts, Juanita Silva of Odessa and Mandy Galindo of Union City, California, brothers Stanley Ek Avaris, Andrew Orozco and John Rodriguez, sisters Maria Alvarez, Sylvia Harmon, Novella Rosales, and Rita Herrera, and numerous grandnieces and nephews. Victor was preceded in death by his mother, Elizabeth Gonzalez, brother Carlos Manuel Orozco, his grandparents Andres and Agustina Gonzalez, and several uncles. Visitation will be held Monday, September 21st from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors. Rosary will be recited at 1:30 p.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church. A Mass of Christian burial will follow at 2 p.m. with Father Bernard Gettigan officiating. Graveside services with military honors will be Tuesday, September 22nd at 11 a.m. at Holy Angels Cemetery in Alpine with Father Pablo Mata officiating. Arvel Lee Murphy. Arvel Lee Murphy passed away September 8th in Odessa. He was born in Baytown, July 10th, 1951, to Arvel Lee and Betty Jo Murphy. He married his wife Barbara in 2015. Lee is survived by his wife Barbara, a grandson, David Lee Heimel, and wife, Kaylin Marie Heimel, son, Jeremy Hash, and his wife, Liddell, his stepdaughter, Christina Ochoa, and husband, Lucas, two grandchildren, and numerous cousins, nieces, and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Arvel Lee and Betty Jo Murphy, as well as a daughter, Tammy. A private memorial pool tournament will be held at the Location Lounge September 25th and 26th to honor his memory and celebrate his life. Gilbert Nick Sanchez. Gilbert N. Sanchez, 74, of Odessa, passed away Thursday, September 17th. A private graveside burial is planned for September 21st at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery in Midland. Gilbert was born December 31st, 1945, in Midland to Inez and Guadalupe Sanchez. Survivors include a daughter, Cindy Sanchez Van Sickle, and husband, Tim of Odessa. Sons Danny Sanchez of Austin and Nick Sanchez of Dallas, and six grandchildren. The family suggests memorials to Family Promise of Odessa, Post Office Box 12781, Odessa 79768. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Arturo Cienega Arthur Molina. Arthur Molina was born to Jesus and Jesusita Molina October 27th, 1948, and passed away September 3rd. He was married to Anita Brooks Molina for 41 years. He is survived by his children, Misty Holiday and husband Jerry, Erica Araguay and husband Danny, and Arthur Molina Jr. 10 grandchildren, sisters Ruth Ibarra, Judy Molina, Mary Campbell, and a brother Danny Molina. He is also survived by many nieces, nephews, and friends. Arthur was preceded in death by his parents, his wife, and two grandsons, Jackson and Dominique Molina. Also preceded in death, his brothers, Johnny, Reuben, Martin, Raymond Luis and Manuel, and his sister Alice Silva. Visitation is scheduled for Tuesday, September 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m., and a funeral service will be held Wednesday, September 23rd at 10 a.m. at Frank Wilson Funeral Director's Chapel, with burial to follow at 1 p.m. in Lorain. Death notices. Dolores Garza Martinez. Dolores Garza Martinez, 78, of Midland, died Sunday, August 30th. A memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 22nd at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will be held at 9 a.m. Wednesday, September 23rd at Ector County Cemetery in the Rose Hill section, with Pastor Gabriel Chavez officiating. Pedro Baeza. Pedro Baeza, 82, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 15th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Wednesday, September 23rd at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Terry Bailey. Terry Bailey, 68, of Midland, died Friday, September 18th. A celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 24th at Kelview Heights Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are by Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Thomas Kelly, Tommy Bateman. Thomas Kelly Bateman, 60, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 17th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Jack Durrell Dodson. Jack Durrell Dodson, 48, died Friday, September 18th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Michael Douglas Heath. Michael Douglas Heath, 48, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 17th. A graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. September 21st at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Moises B. Leyva. Moises B. Leyva of Kermit, 77, died Friday, September 18th. Services are pending with Willow Brook Funeral Home and Cremation Service of Midland. Jerry Earl Lofton. Jerry Earl Lofton, 69, of Odessa, died Monday, September 14th. A memorial service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Saturday, September 26th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Maria Elisa O'Byrne. Maria Elisa O'Byrne, 81, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 15th. A funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 22nd at Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Bishop Matthew Ornsby officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Angelita Rodriguez Nunez. Angelita Rodriguez Nunez, 77, of Odessa, died Saturday, September 12th. Mass was celebrated at 10 a.m. Wednesday, September 16th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church, and burial followed at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arrangements by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Larry Andy Steen. Larry Andy Steen, 74, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 8th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Carolyn Phyllis Judy Mudgett Thomas. Carolyn Phyllis Thomas, 79, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 17th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Odessa Arts awards $295,000 in cultural tourism grants. OA News at OAOA.com. Odessa Arts announced on Monday $295,000 in cultural tourism to 15 arts agencies for events and initiatives in 2021. When COVID-19 hit, arts agencies were among the first to shut down their physical spaces and will be some of the last to open back up, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Ham said in a news release. Yet, many of us spent time and effort to transition to distance events, streaming content, giving online instruction, and creating other ways to offer art and comfort during one of the most stressful and challenging times our community has ever faced. This extremely important pivot was not easy and was not cheap. It cost human resources and funding in a time when many of us saw fundraisers canceled, corporate sponsorships evaporate, and no revenue from ticket sales. I am very pleased that the City of Odessa leadership recognized this and kept hotel occupancy funding static for the next year. This enabled us to help support our creative sector. Cultural tourism grants are funded through hotel occupancy tax. Applicants must demonstrate cultural significance as well as direct impact on the hotel industry in Odessa. Grants for 2021 include Marfa Public Radio, $10,000. Odessa College Fine Arts, $35,000. Basin PBS, $30,000. Ellen Noel Art Museum, $35,000. Permian Basin Opera, $10,000. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, $20,000. West Texas Jazz Society, $20,000. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, $20,000. Midland Festival Ballet, $19,000. Cassatt in the Basin, $20,000. UT Permian Basin Fine Arts, $35,000. Permian Playhouse, $30,000. Lisa Butler Fine Arts, $10,000 for an art exhibit. West Texas Pride Center, $1,000 for an art exhibit. In addition, Ham said, Odessa Arts is working on an individual artist grant program for local artists to receive funding for the creation of specific artworks. Odessa Arts hopes to have the program launched by October. Ham said being able to help these organizations come out on top is important. I'm very proud of the City of Odessa for their continued support of the arts in a time like this, he added. On the net, odessaarts.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Letters to the Editor. Communities once again show generosity. On behalf of the 101 nonprofits that participated in Permian Basin Gives on August 25th, I'd like to thank everyone who donated. You might have missed the final results, so I want to share the amazing news. Our goal was to raise $1,688,500 among all the nonprofits. We thought that was a stretch, especially given the challenges of the pandemic and local economy. We know many of you are struggling, just as we have been. yet 3,017 donors gave $2,092,293 to area charities through Permian Basin Gives. Another $485,843 was matched by various corporations and foundations for a grand total of $2,578,136 in donations that will help supply essential services such as physical and mental wellness, education, services to seniors, mentoring and support for children, access to the arts, assistance with food and shelter, and so much more. So thank you for proving once again why our communities are known for their generosity. Kay Kreitz, Executive Director, Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Lee name is outdated and needs to go. As a resident of Midland since 1968, I must speak about the renaming of Robert E. Lee High and freshman schools. When my brother Mark and Matt were to start high school in the late 80s, once Midland ISD made our area Lee District, my mother, who was born in Dallas, said, "I am not from this area. I do not care about the rivalry between Midland High and Lee, but no child of mine is going to a school named Robert E. Lee." As an African-American man, I have a question for the proponents of the Lee name. What exactly are you trying to preserve? Well, people, memories, and history are practically set in stone, so that excuse is worn out. Former Carver students have their memories and histories after being closed for 53 years, and they meet every 2 years for an all-class reunion during Juneteenth weekend. If John Rogers would have told people in Anaheim and Boston that he attended Robert E. Lee High School in Midland, he would have gotten a different reaction because they do not have schools named after traitors. The Citizens Committee, as diverse as it is a complete joke to come up with names with Lee. Jedi mind tricks are being bestowed upon the people of color. Come on. People are 401 years long enough for this nonsense. Stop using the pandemic and money as an excuse. Get some of that $7 million back from Trump's campaign. What's really sad is that the demographics at Lee have changed drastically, and the predominant Hispanic population at Lee doesn't have a say in this process, like the all-white student body did in 1961. For family people, may I remind you of the last sentence in your alma mater, "These memories we cherish, Robert E. Lee." So yes, you were all about that. Jedi mind tricks don't work on this Midland High graduate. The Lee name is outdated and needs to go. Midland needs to stop glorifying traitors. Major Houston. Keep Lee in name to preserve school's identity. I am 71 years old, and I graduated from Lee High School in 1967 and have always been proud to say I am and always will be a Lee Rebel. This great school opened in 1961 and is almost 60 years old. My husband was in the first class that went all 4 years at Lee. The design of the building and everything about the school was so different than any school we had ever seen. I have some concerns about the conflict regarding the name change of this wonderful school. It seems to be the thing today to cancel culture that you don't like for some reason. I do not want my culture and my memories of one of the most wonderful times in my life to be destroyed, and I don't think anyone feels that way about their own lives. Our memories are part of who we are, and I can tell you that the way I felt about Lee High School had nothing to do with racism. As a former student of my generation, I want to see the name Midland Lee used in order to keep the history of this great school continued. Also, being a Lee Rebel does not represent racism. It represents the school spirit of the thousands of alumni and teachers who walked those halls. I don't want that history to be destroyed as if it never happened. My husband and I attended Lee football games during the 80s and 90s and went to state playoff games. It was so exciting to support our team as we traveled all over the state of Texas in support of them. We were all caught up in the excitement of school spirit. People all over the country knew who Midland Lee Rebels were. As it appears that the name of this wonderful school should be changed in some form, please use Midland Lee or L.E.E. High School. Please don't completely destroy the identity of such an honored school. Carla Stringer. Election Letters. Midland ISD District 4. Joiner will bring fresh perspective to board. I am writing to show my support for Katie Wallace Joiner, who is running for school board to represent District 4. As a retired educator of the Midland Independent School District and personal friend of Katie, I believe she is the refreshing young voice that our city and schools need. Her dedicated service to our community has been well documented over the past years. Her fresh perspective and ideas are what we need to bring our schools into the next decade. I've known and worked with Katie for 10 years and believe her to be a caring, compassionate, intelligent woman who is willing to listen to all sides of an issue. I admire her work ethic and her willingness to continue learning and training to improve her skills to become a better instructor. I know she will continue to serve the City of Midland and the Midland Independent School District with the same passion she exhibits in all her endeavors. Cindy Simpson. Midland College, Place 7. Carrasco is perfect fit for Midland College Board. I have known Adrian Carrasco for over 20 years. We have worked on boards and numerous community projects together throughout those years. His leadership and dedication are an asset to Midland. Currently, we work together as committee members on Community Ed in Action, an organization that empowers our community to get involved. Adrian is always available when called upon and willing to help. He is a perfect fit for the MC board as he brings experience in the business and construction field, the ability to lead, and his positive attitude toward a brighter future for Midland College. His passion and dedication to serve Midland College is real. I am pleased to support Adrian Carrasco for Midland College Board of Trustees, Place 7. I am looking forward to seeing the positive change that he will bring to Midland College and its future. Vicki Haley.
Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Other Voices. Letter to the Editor. Trump fighting force of evil. I was amazed recently as I listened to the talk show host on TV interview three still undecided voters, amazed that these three are still undecided after having heard 10,000 lies by the Democrats during the Mueller witch hunt and another 10,000 lies by the Democrats during the Ukrainian impeachment hoax. Trump is pro-life. He opposed baby murder, 65 million baby deaths in 47 years. Shouldn't this position by Trump elicit some sympathy by people with a heart? Though Trump is discreet on the subject, he is also hated because he backs traditional marriage. Shouldn't his position on the subject elicit support from rational people? Do any of the Democrat and progressive liberals ever read the Bible to determine right from wrong? So any of the Democrat socialists ever ask their mothers and grandmothers the difference between right and wrong? For people who are intellectually intelligent to swallow lie after lie and politician con job after con job, there has to be a sinister evil force, Satan, the devil, quietly whispering in their ears behind the scenes. 2 Corinthians 4:4. George Pitts, Fort Stockton.
This is the medical advice column to your good health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband is 55 years old. He was in the hospital about a year ago for a mild heart attack. At the time, a urine test was performed and a small amount of blood was detected in his urine. He went through the usual tests and scans, including a CT scan and cystoscopy, but nothing could be found to indicate the reason for the blood. A year later, his urine still tests positive for blood. The doctor doesn't seem overly concerned, but I'd like to know what is causing the blood in his urine. Is it acceptable to live with a small amount of blood in the urine? Answer. Small amounts of blood in the urine are extremely common. There are many causes, the most are concerning of which is bladder cancer. It is more common in men over 35 or those with certain occupational exposures. Concern for bladder cancer is the main reason why your husband had the CT scan and cystoscopy. If kidney function is normal and stable, there is no protein in the urine, and the CT scan and cystoscopy are normal, then no further workup is usually recommended. Yearly repeat follow-up visits are recommended. No cause is usually ever identified in such cases.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, September 24th, 2020, etc. Mom makes snide remarks about new boyfriend's weight. Dear Abby, I'm a 35-year-old single mom. I've dated a few people over the last 7 years, but none of them wanted to commit. Several months ago, I started seeing Joey, a friend of a couple of years. He's sweet, respectful, hardworking, and he helps me whenever I need it. Joey is on the heavy side, but he's clean and kempt. I introduced him to my mom, and she continues to say he is gross. She refers to him only as that man and never by his name. He has always been very polite and has never said anything to her out of the way. My son and I have lived with Mom ever since my divorce, and I have helped her out with more than my share of the bills and groceries. I'm currently trying to buy a house, but the market is competitive with the low interest rates. I work full-time, take great care of my son, and do lots of chores around the house. How can I convince my mother to accept Joey, or should I ignore what she says as long as he's good to my son and me? Found a good guy in the South. Dear Found, nothing you can do will make your mother accept Joey. Most parents judge the men in their daughters' lives by how they treat their daughters, rather than a number on the scale. Has it occurred to you that she may be afraid your relationship with Joey could develop to the point you will no longer be around to do chores and help her with the bills? From your description of him, that man is definitely a keeper. As long as he is good to you and your son and you care for him, please don't allow your mother to discourage you. As an adult, it's important to make your own decisions and live your own life without interference. Dear Abby, my younger sister is a bipolar, narcissistic, psychotic, evil woman with bachelor's and master's degree in psychology and counseling. She has hated me from birth. I know exactly what she is, and she can't stand that I do. She spreads lies about me because our mother was alive for my wedding and not for hers, and according to her, it's my fault. Mama died 10 years ago. I made her maid of honor at my wedding and godmother to my child, but no matter what I do, she complains to anyone who will listen about what a horrible person she thinks I am. Because of her education, family members believe everything she says without question. Our adult lives have been spent with her shutting me out and gossiping about me to extended family. How can I convince my relatives to listen to me? I have no one on my side when it comes to her because the family knows about her mental health issues and tell me to get over it. I can't. Please help me. Can't go on like this. Dear Can't Go On, that your sister has graduate degrees in psychology and counseling does not guarantee that she isn't mentally ill. Your relatives are aware of her mental health issues and have advised you not to overreact. Perhaps you should take that to heart. Find another godmother for your child, because clearly this one is unsuitable, and spend as little time around your sister as you can. If necessary, Start replacing unsupportive family members with friends you can trust to be supportive. The only thing you should not do is continue to allow your sick sister to rule your life. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Capricorn. Happy birthday for Thursday, September 24, 2020. Imaginative, free-spirited, and generous, you travel many roads in this lifetime, physically and mentally. This year, allow yourself to commit and settle, and you'll accomplish miracles at work. If single, others' attraction to you draws you into affairs, potentially including a triangle. If attached, you have a very understanding partner who allows you time to yourself. You both might decide to move this year. Sagittarius is a wanderer like you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today your career is highlighted. You may question authority and become more vocal and visible at work. Extra effort and attention to detail make the recognition positive. Tonight, sentiment is replaced with an affinity for all that is contemporary and progressive. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Faraway places and foreign people turn your thoughts away from the familiar. You may explore new philosophies and belief systems and be profoundly affected. Daydreams are vivid. Communication is delicate. Be cautious if speaking or writing about controversial topics. Tonight, friends suggest adventuresome travels. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. You enjoy learning and are something of a perpetual student. You can learn a great deal at this time. Old concepts are changing. Today, memories of a grandparent or childhood companion will be vivid and meaningful. Tonight, accept experiences from the past philosophically. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. A partner must be compatible with your relatives, especially your mother, to make you happy. Your generosity and sensitivity make you a delightful companion if you can overcome memories of old lost loves. Romantic prospects improve today. Tonight, date night. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 2 stars. Today can bring temporary weariness. Take care of old maladies and get extra rest when this occurs. Avoid those who are ill if you can. You are especially vulnerable. Get both sides of the story if there's disturbing news. Tonight, take the night off. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Love trends are definitely improving. You will be liberated from old heartaches or disappointments. A spiritual connection with a special person might form today. Existing relationships transform for the better. Tonight, romantic opportunities arise that open doors. Pursue them. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. You can relax. There is a feeling of reprieve from demanding realities and pressures. Companions are less critical and more supportive of your ideas. Your home life is improved if you use humor and patience in communicating with family members. Tonight, quiet evening at home. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. You can do some impressive writing today. Cards and emails, as well as stories and poems, flow freely. Neighbors are more friendly. Accept invitations they extend. Return telephone calls promptly. They can be very important. Tonight, socially distance socializing. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. Conversations revolve around business. Today promises you information about and an understanding of certain financial matters. There is a new awareness about what money really does and doesn't mean. Tonight, be ready to expand and experiment to assure success. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 4 stars. You can make constructive changes today. It's a good time to polish your skills. Complete work requiring analysis or precise measurements. New technologies and gadgets are an asset. It's easier to clear away debris and get organized. Tonight, tradition is upheld now. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 3 stars. A subject that is hard to understand suddenly is clarified if you study diligently. It's a perfect time to think about attending a meditation group and deepening your awareness. Seek healing and inspiration from the arts or contact with nature. Tonight, deep rest. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 4 stars. You might be a bit more quiet than usual because you are especially impressionable today. You are quite psychically aware of the deepest inner feelings of others. Talk remotely in a group. Your humor wins new friends. Tonight, others want to be closer. Born today, author F. Scott Fitzgerald, 1896, Muppets creator Jim Henson, 1936, comedian Phil Hartman, 1948.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.